Our Stories Matter podcast was born out of a need for a brave space for people who experience the criminal punishment system to share their truths. This is Our Stories Matter, brought to you by Trauma Informed LA. Our Stories Matter celebrates the complex lived experiences of activists and healers by sharing their inspiring stories. In season 4 of Our Stories Matter, we will focus on two organizations that are dismantling the 46,000 collateral consequences: Homeboy Industries and Forestry and Fire Recruitment Program.
Today we'll be talking with Ivy Navarat, who was sentenced to 60 years and recently released after serving 10 years when her sentence was overturned and vacated in 2022. Ivy was released from the Los Angeles County Jail without any gate money and $20 to her name. She went straight to Homeboy Industries and was greeted by family. Ivy is currently working at Homeboy Industries as a legal assistant.
Good morning. Hi, everyone. So my name is James, James Tobacco, and I'm with Trauma Informed Lives, Los Angeles. And we're here today with Martin, co-host. And Martin, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing really well. It's good to be here. Thank you. Yeah, we're excited to be here.
And with us, we have a special guest. We have Ivy. Why don't you go ahead and take a few minutes to introduce yourself?
My name is Ivy, and I'm not going to say my age because that's nobody's business. But my name is Ivy, and I was born and raised in Los Angeles Rampart District.
All right, great, great. So when you say Rampart District, I'm just curious, what does that incorporate or what does that cover?
So that like incorporates like Pico Union District, Westlake District, pretty much all the way up to like Vermont and 3rd.
Yeah. Are you familiar with that?
Because then it turns into like Metro.
Oh, okay.
Now.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So do you live there now? Is that some? No?
No, I live in.
You don't live there anymore.
Yeah, I don't.
We don't want to disclose where you live at.
Yeah.
Right.
age and not where
she lives.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I have secrets.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
We really appreciate you being here today.
And, it's a pleasure.
It's a great opportunity to be here at Homeboy Art Academy, and it's just exciting to be a co-host along with Martin. What we want to do is we want to touch upon, you know, basically, who are you? Give us a little history and story of who Ivy Navarat is.
Who am I? Well, I'm just a girl that grew up in the area, like I said, in the Rampart District. I grew up tough, you know, just in the 80s, everything was just hard, like a lot of drugs and, you know, the area was just not that great. But throughout it all, like, no matter what, I just always like kept going, you know?
What was it like for you when you served your first prison term and got out?
My first prison term, when I got out, I didn't have anywhere to go. So I was like forced to go to a like, not like a halfway house, but like a rehab type place just to have somewhere to stay because I don't really have family. So that's where I had to go. But after that, one of my roommates, she told me about Homeboy Industries, and through her, I was able to go to Homeboy Industries and get a job right away because of me just, you know, being fresh out and not having anywhere to go. After that, things got better because, I mean, I had employment and I was able to just live life and make money for myself.
I think we can resonate with that, right, Martin? I mean, cause, you know, we're all formerly incarcerated, you know. Martin, why don't you talk about you and basically where you're at right now, being formerly incarcerated?
So as a formerly incarcerated individual, I reentered society, which reentry is something we'll talk about in a little bit. But I think reentry, I reentered society back in 2007. So I've been out for a long time. I mean, education has been my number one, just the thing I've been doing since I've been out, right? So now I'm a professor at a university and teaching and working on a doctoral program. And, you know, for me, just as a formerly incarcerated individual, reentry is the most important thing we do. Can you talk a little bit about your reentry, Ivy, and like what's reentry been like, especially as like a woman, especially coming from, you know, Rand Park, I know, is a tough area, and that, you know, there's a lot of things there, right? So.
Yeah. So, like I just said, like my first prison term, it was hard. I think maybe my first prison term reentering was a little easier than this last time. So, from this last time, I did 10 years straight. Mm-hmm. I had 60 to life, and SB 1437 passed. And so, therefore, my cases were vacated. So it was kind of like, just kidding, you're not a lifer anymore. So when I got out, since I had already worked at Homeboys, it was easy for me to just, it was like, welcome home. And it was, you know, I mean, I have pictures of myself. I came straight out of Linwood with a black suit on and went straight there. So it's been easy, but then yet like hard at the same time because... Yeah, Homeboys is there as far as like with, you know, employment and offering help and then like helping with housing for sure, because that's how, you know, I got in contact with like GSE and through them, I was able to get like my housing voucher, which is how I'm like living now. But I mean, it was just so hard to find an apartment as far as like just like my credit. Fresh out, who has credit?
Right.
Like. That was hard, like discrimination as far as like the way I look, you know, they do background checks. If you don't pass, you don't get the place. So, I mean, I was sleeping on the couch, driving all the way from Pomona every day.
Right.
And those of you who are familiar with that drive, like it's not cool. You know, it was hard. Like we were like that. Well, I was like that for like maybe 3 months before I actually like, I just sat down one day and I was like, you know what? I'm going to call all these numbers on this emergency housing voucher list. Mm. And I'm just going to like do it. Like I couldn't take it anymore.
You know, you talk about the challenges of what it was like to, you know, to be a lifer getting out, you know, and I understand that, you know, I did 28 years and when I was released, the overwhelming sensations of getting used to a new identity and a new surrounding was just overwhelming, you know.
Absolutely.
Sensory deprivation like crazy,
you know.
Sure. So what I'm wondering is when you were coming out of prison and, you know, you have this idea of what you want to do when you first get out. Did you follow through with that when you actually, you know, became free and you realized, oh my God, I'm no longer in prison anymore. What was that like for you?
Yeah, I actually did. So I got out on a Friday and then by Monday, I already had my driver's license.
Oh, that's right.
So since I already had like my driver's license before, it wasn't really that long, like the 10 years. So I only had to like answer 10 questions. So that was on a Monday. And then, you know, I know what I want to do. So going back into Homeboys, like, you know, they've been very supportive. And I just let them know, like, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to work in the legal field.
Oh, nice.
And they've just been, like, the best.
Yeah, can I follow up with that really quick? What is it about the legal field? Because I read that in your bio. What is it about the legal field that you're drawn to? Where is that? Where is that coming from?
Honestly, like... You file things and you get paid well.
So it's money. All right.
You know, like, yeah. I'm gonna keep it real. Like,
all right.
I mean, now that I've been sitting at the desk a little more, it's a lot more than that, than what, like, my intentions were in the beginning, because we're very involved with the community. So it's really a lot more than that now. But I still focus on what I really want to do and like what kind of law I want to get into.
Right.
But I'm still there. And in the process, I'm just learning.
Right.
And it's great.
Yeah. And I think it's important. I was recently having this conversation. James, you might relate to this. So I'm 50, right? And I've been teaching full time since only 2018. And since 2018, I'm barely building like this, like, retirement and like this, like I'm starting to finally think about my future, what that looks like. I maybe got another 15 years left before time to retire. A lot of us folks who've been in incarcerated, we come home, we don't have anything like stacked up for us. said, we have to really start thinking, like, where can I get my money from? Because, you know, we can't rely on the system. We know that. And I just wanted to put that out there because it's time to really start thinking, like, I need to be able to secure myself something for the future, right?
So. Definitely. I mean, that's one of my other main reasons why I really want to do it, because just security, you know, like, nothing's ever for sure in this world.
You know, and you got a valid point there. I mean, I'm 55 and I don't qualify for Social Security because, you know, obviously I haven't been working, haven't been saving money for all those years that I was incarcerated. So, and I'm a grad student, you know, in the School of Social Work at USC. And I look at myself and I think, where am I going with this? You know, and the one thing I can be sure of is that retirement is a long ways away, because how do I retire if I don't have the money to retire?
Right.
You know, and you know, so I think for all those men and women that are getting out, that's going to be the overarching purpose. Start saving. Start putting away that money, whatever you can, because at the end of that time when you can no longer work, that's when it's going to be needed the most. And I think when we talk with you today, I can see that you're a very capable person. You know, and the fact that you're pursuing paralegal, I mean, that's hard. That's some hard work. Was that something that you thought about exploring when you were inside, or is that something that you came to the realization that that's a possibility for you when you, you know, were paroled?
Well, I didn't know if I was ever getting out. So, I mean, you as a lifer, you know how that feeling is. So, honestly, I could honestly say it never crossed my mind in there anymore.
Yeah, just thinking back to what that must have been like when they were telling you, you know, never ready, roll your property up, you're going to R&R. What was that like for you?
Oh, my God. Right. Well, I already knew because they called me up to the counselor's office and they're like, so you're going out to court, but you need to pack up all your stuff, but we don't know what's going to happen. But I already knew because I had already like been very well informed with like my appellate lawyer. And like even when SB 1437 first came out, like I just knew. Like,
let's talk about what is that? What is SB 1437?
So it's the if you weren't the shooter, you didn't, you know, you're not guilty. And so in my situation, that's what it was.
Right.
So, you know, my lawyer wasn't even aware of it, but I just kind of like, I had a feeling, but like, I never really like wanted to get my hopes up high just for the reason being that like, you just can't in there.
Right.
You know,
you're on pins and needles though, right? Because you don't know what's going to happen and you're, you know, one day to the next, you're trying not to get in trouble, but trouble is all around you, you know,
yeah.
And particularly, you know, in the women's prisons where it's so rampant with, you know, overcrowding, you know, because there's less women's prisons than there are men's prisons. But, yeah. You know, right. Unfortunately, the overcrowding still exists.
Well, I didn't really think about the not getting in trouble because at the end, like, I knew that I was going to get out through court. So.
So you weren't even worried about it.
No, I just wasn't like, you know, I mean, there's a time like I first got there and I was, you know, running amok. And then there was a time where I was just like, okay, I want to just start working out more and, you know, just doing better for myself.
There's a couple of things going through my mind right now. So you've reentered twice, second time. And going back really quick, I never believe shit till shit happens. So they can tell me things are going to happen. And I'm like, well, until
I remember those days.
Until it does, then I'm not going to really. Because, you know, I'm a person who always had a lot of hope in the absence of it. And so it's like, I'm not believing anything till it really happens. So I'm glad it happened for you.
Thank you.
You're motivated to become a paralegal. I think that's great. I think money should be our motivator for us. What has coming home been like for your family, for yourself, especially as a woman? Like, what has that been like? Especially like every day for me. I'm still 15 years removed from prison, and I'm still excited about the work and showing up for others. What's that been like for you? What's your main motivators?
My son.
Oh, that's a good motivator
that's
there.
A beautiful motivator.
Yeah, that's a beautiful motivator.
Yeah, he's like, My main one. I'm just, I was having like a really good conversation with him, and I just told him like, I just told him the same thing I just told you guys, like you were like my main motivation while I was in there. It's been good. Like, we're building our relationship. And then, honestly, like, as far as like family, you know, I came home, I was staying with my cousin, and, you know, I was glad that she was there for me, which didn't really happen the first time. It's just like family started coming out of everywhere, you know, like from my dad's side. And like, it's been overwhelming, I'm not going to lie. Like, I just like to really take my time because I feel like I have too much on my plate. Yeah. So I really like it's all in due time.
Yeah.
You know?
So when you say all on your plate, I mean, because you talk about education, you talk about, you know, working at Homeboys, or actually Homegirl Cafe, right?
No, the first time.
Yeah, okay, this, but still, yeah. Homeboy, right?
Yeah, still Homeboy Industries.
So why do you think education and employment matter?
Oh, they matter because through education, that's how you gain power. And then through the power, you know, you gain like money. And so, you know.
That's always a good thing.
And then you said education and what?
Employment.
Oh, employment. And, you know, same thing again, like money.
Yeah.
You know, also like a purpose for waking up every morning and motivating yourself. And a
sense of purpose and identity,
for sure.
Right? Yeah.
And having something to do and feeling good when you're done with your day. Yeah. You know, and feeling like you've actually, like, you know, you change someone's life just a little bit or help somebody out. Like,
that's empowering.
For sure, yeah.
What do you think on that, Martin? That's empowering, right?
All of that is empowering. I think for me, the journey in education, the journey through work and community, right? Community, helping others, being there for folks. As a man, I think it's important that I do a lot of healing and continue to do a lot of healing. I'm a really big proponent of dismantling patriarchy and really understanding this machismo way of life, right? Do you address or work on any kind of like healing for yourself so that, because I always believe that we tend to go back to some of the things we were involved with in the first place, especially if we don't, like your son's your motivator, which is beautiful. But I always believe that like we need to, and this is for me, continue to heal and understand our past, understand, because for me, they always creep up. My neighborhood creeps up, the people, my family creep up, and they're not always so positive, right? And the longer I've been out and doing this work on healing, it's been able to address that and know what's good for me, what's not good for me, and be able to walk away from things that aren't good for me. Are you on any type of healing journey, or are you doing any healing, and what does that look like for you?
Honestly, I think I do a lot of like self-talking, mm-hmm. you know, I talk to him, like to God, like, you know, he's who I believe in. But sometimes when I just feel like, oh my God, I can't get up today, like, mm-hmm. you know, so I'll ask, you know, I'm just like, please just give me the strength to like, just get up right now and get in the shower. Because once you get in that shower, like, it's you're good, you know? But, and then I have my dog.
I felt that right now.
Yeah, I felt that, yeah.
I get that same thing. My and I'm open to it. Like, I don't know about you, but my depression sometimes is just the fucking best of me. And it's like, no, I got plants to take care of, and I've got a dog to take care of. And if I don't get up, my dog will make sure I get up, right? So I felt that when you said that.
Yeah, I just got her. She's been like a lot, like she's helped me a lot in my life, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we need that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. My son doesn't live with me, so, and he's older. So, you know, it's not like I have to get up and oh, I got to take him to school. I got to get him ready, you know? Mm-hmm. But, I'm pretty motivated, but, you know, you just have those days where you're just whooped. Like, you're just like, I don't want to get up today, you know?
Yeah.
I stay busy, like I'm constantly on the move, on the go. Like sometimes I just want to like lay down and watch some Netflix, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, Netflix! Oh man, jeez. I got stuck on Netflix. So, you know, moving forward in your journey, where do you see yourself in maybe the next 5 years?
In the next 5 years, I definitely see myself having my paralegal certificate. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, working and feeling good about it. And, you know, I definitely want like 401k. And, you know, we talked about the retirement and, you know, it's like I don't have any time to waste right now.
Right.
It's just like every day counts. Every day counts. Like what have you done today that's productive?
You know what? And that's absolutely true. I mean, I think that's true for all of us. You know, it's like once you get out, it's like the last thing we want to do is look back. You know, we just want to keep moving forward and keep pushing, even though it's going to be hard and challenging, even though you force yourself to get up, you force yourself to do these daily things when you would rather just stay in bed, right?
I mean, not all the time.
Right.
It seemed like, damn, I ain't lazy.
Exactly. But we all have these periods like, oh, damn, I got to wake up and damn, I got to fight the traffic. Damn, I got to get on the bus or damn, I got to do this, got to do that. You know, so when you push through that, what goes through your mind for the reasons why you're pushing through that?
Well, like, my son, number one, and, you know, like, just the future, like, it's always so uncertain. Like, you know, security just comes back, you know, that word, like, yeah. Security, you know? Growing up, it was, you know... It was insecure.
Yeah.
And so now that I'm capable of doing that for myself, like I'm just full speed ahead, you know? I don't want to waste any time.
Have you encountered any type of stigmas since you've been out?
Can you like what do you mean?
Yeah, Martin, let's talk about that, you know, in terms of
oh, like what people like
what they might perceive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
Let's talk about the real. I mean, you just get out, you're on parole, right? What do people think when they look at you and then they start talking to you and they find out that you're on parole and they don't have a clue about the world that you come from?
Well, I'm not on parole.
Oh, you're not on parole. Oh, no. That's even better. Yeah.
But I do know the feeling.
Right.
And for sure, it's not a good feeling. And I have encountered it. You know, they look at you different.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people want to know, like, oh, what were you busted for? You know, or like, so, you know, I mean, everything's public record. And yeah, I've learned to like, just let it like, it's like water on my back, you know, just let it go. I mean, it is what it is, you know, nobody's perfect. And, we all have a past, but it's what you're doing with, you know, your present time and what you plan on doing with your future. So
right.
I really don't care. Like I walk a mile in my shoes.
Right.
So the empathy that you have is for yourself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. You know, and that just draws me on this next question. It's like, what do you like to do for leisure or for fun
or for self-care? I'm over here on the self-care.
Or even self-care. Yeah,
well, I like to get my nails done.
That's right.
I don't know anything about that.
I need to like I do normally work out, but like I'm just beat sometimes, you know. But I like to like chill. I'm a homebody. Like now that like I have my apartment and like I get done cleaning, I clean the house. And then it feels good to just lay on the bed and just like chill, you know?
Enjoy your own spot.
Like I can go to my fridge and grab what I want. I don't have to like look at a catalog and order it and make a whole ass list. Yeah. Like
walking horse.
Yeah. Or union, But so I mean, you know, and just like walk my dog and, you know, spend time with my son, spend time with friends, good company. You know, I don't like to stress.
Yeah.
And, like, I find myself, like, I do worry because, you know, everything's expensive, you know, and I like to shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I.
I have a shoe addiction.
I'm always like, I should start saving this money, but I'm like, yeah,
it's hard. Yeah. And I'm like, second job? Like,
we deserve this, right?
Yeah. So.
Exactly. It's like when you were talking about the nails, you know, I have people trying to get me to get these mani-pedis.
You should do it.
And I was like, oh my God, 55 years old, and I'm actually considering a mani-pedi. I'm like, oh my God.
You should do it. There's nothing wrong with it.
It's about dismantling the patriarchy.
There you go. Dismantling the patriarchy. I get it. I get it.
I love a pedicure. I go all the time.
You know? Well, sure. I know what it's like when I rub my feet, so I can only imagine what it would be like when somebody else is doing it.
Really good.
It's comforting, man. It's self-care. So can you tell us about like how people getting involved with like homeboy industry? If the listeners out there want to learn a little bit about getting involved and what they can do.
So pretty much, you know, if they're ready to just, you know, if they need employment and they've been, you know, in jail or in prison, like that's the place, you know, you go in and it's just, you know, open arms, definitely a lot of resources.
Yeah.
They're just very supportive. So, you know, I would say just walk in and ask, you know.
You felt right at home the second time you went back?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's such a beautiful feeling.
It was just like, you know, familiar faces. And it was very emotional.
Yeah.
And then we went to go eat sushi.
Sushi, yeah.
That was my first meal.
Sushi?
Yes.
Oh, that's a good choice. That's a good choice.
I'm not a fan of sushi, but, you know.
We're gonna get you a pedicure.
Oh, jeez. You know, when you're talking about homeboy, have you met Father Boyle?
Yes.
What was that like? Talk about that experience about meeting Father Boyle.
You know, he's just like a loving person. Like his aura is just like, like, you know, like he's very calming, like he's chill and he's just like, hey, kiddo, you know. So he's always just a pleasure to be around.
Yeah.
I have no words.
And I could tell you that's probably number one reason why he felt so comfortable going back, because he makes the place and everybody around him make the place like that.
Yes.
You know, so. Yeah. Yeah, and homeboy, you know, the homeboy industry's the trademark. I mean, the whole purpose is self-healing and healing and community healing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I love going to that place.
It's a nice place. And I've been there. I did a tour when I was with Center for Counsel earlier. You know, I think it was last year, and got to go in there and really look at the facility, and it's really, really an amazing, you know, outpouring of love and compassion and empathy, you know, when you go in there. So, you know, I'm really glad that you had the opportunity to get out and experience the freedom the way you want to experience it, you know, and struggles are going to be there.
For
challenges are going to be there, you know, and the fact is that you reach deep down into the depths of your heart and your soul, and you keep pushing forward because you know what you want, you know. And I have no doubt that you're not going to achieve that. You know, you're going to excel at what you want to do because you're determined, you know, and you have that sense of purpose, and I could feel it. And I know you care not just about who you are as a human being, but you also care about people, you know? And I think that comes through even, you know, through this conversation, you know, and so, you know, I fully support everything that you're doing, and I commend you for the hard work and the strength that it takes, particularly, you know, being released from a woman's prison and being a woman in this environment, in this society where everything seems so slanted and sideways against women, you know, and you're rising above that. You know, and I just really want to applaud you for that, because it's hard. It's really hard for women right now.
Yes, it is. And thank you. You know, it's really hard, you know, especially like, you know, women, you know, with the kids and the family, like, you know, just in every aspect, like reentering back, you know, you don't know how it's going to be, how the kids are going to act. It's a difficult situation. But, you know, I don't know how it is for everyone else out there, but, you know, in the beginning, sometimes I'm like, damn, do you even like me, you know? But, but he's a teenager. So, you know, and then there's moments where he just,
What was that like to unify with your son after 10 years, right?
Yes.
What was that like, that unification? And I mean, I'm still building a bond with one of my daughters, the other daughter, perfect. But you know what I mean? Like that bond, what was that unification like with your son?
You know, it's been slow, mm-hmm. but, always present. So, I'm thankful that, you know, I have that access and I'm able to see him whenever I want. And not that he wants to see me all the time, right. You know?
He's a teenager.
Yeah, and for sure. So, but it's been really good. And I'm just so grateful for that.
Yeah. What would you tell other mothers who are going to be coming home someday about that unification?
You know, just be ready, depending on the age, you know, and just, you know, work at it and work on that bond and keep on building it. Because at the end of the day, you know, you're their mom.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what.
You know, and this brings me to this question, you know, it's, you know, the punishment system is not made for women with trauma, right? And so I'm kind of wondering, you know, what resources, you know, should be available for women when they come out of prison?
So housing, definitely number one, for sure. When I got released, they didn't even give me my gate money because I got released from county.
Oh, wow.
So I really came out with nothing.
Wow. That's cruel.
Yeah. And I fought for it and didn't get it. You know, I just did 10 years. Can I at least get my $200?
Yeah, like, right.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, definitely like housing is number one. Support, like as far as like, you know, clothing. And just that security. Like no one likes to come home and have that feeling of not having somewhere to stay.
Right.
Like yeah. It's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the family reunification. Does that start in the beginning? Does that start inside prison? Or you have to wait until you get out of prison to actually go through the family reunification process?
Well, everybody's different. Like, you know, I can't speak for anyone else, but like, for me, it was a lot easier, you know, a lot of women around me, it's harder for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm pretty sure it's a process. So definitely, you know, maybe lawyers, like family lawyers. That would be something that would be good because a lot of women getting out, they don't know where to start, you know, what do I do? How do I get my kid back,
right?
You know, so that would be a good thing too.
I think I hear your future right now.
Yeah, I was just gonna say there. No. There you go, paralegal.
No family law. No, no offense, Judy. That's my boss. No, she does
Judge
family law,
Judy.
But I mean, I like episodes, it, but that's so. I want to do like civil and business. Yeah. You know,
okay. All right.
Yeah,
keep it simple. Keep it simple. All right. You never know, though. I mean, never say never, right?
So,
because I think it's important, right? We use our personal experience to change the lives of other people,
right.
Especially people coming through the situations that we've been through. So family unification, family law, all that stuff is super important. I believe you can touch more lives when you've been through it, right? I'm not trying to push you in another direction.
No,
I'm just
saying,
you know what I mean? So,
well, maybe, you know, you never know. I might change my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Only time will tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all we have, though, right? All we have is time.
For sure.
You know?
We all know that. All we have is time.
Yeah.
And I'm living my life backwards at 55, so I know that all we have is time. So, Ivy, you know, basically just, you know, wrapping things up here, I just want to ask you, what was it like for you to tell your story today and just share with us those personal thoughts?
It's been great. I really want other women that are, you know, reentering back into society. Like, I want there to be some type of support out there for them. Like we need help, you know? Yeah. It's hard. Like, I mean, just everybody reentering back into society, but like focusing on women, it's just hard, you know? So definitely like the support, I wanted to get it out there that like, you know, it was really hard for me to get an apartment. And if it wasn't for this one person that was just like, he was just so open. Like, he's like, so you just got out? Like, I just said, you know what? I'm going to be real with you. Like, I just got out. I really need a place to stay. And he was very open-minded. And, you know, not a lot of people are going to run into people like that.
Right.
You know, so definitely more, like, resources for people re-entering back into society. And, you know, they need somewhere to stay. They need clothes on their back. They need food. Like, I had to fight to get my GR.
Right.
Versus for you guys, I'm sure it was easy for you guys to get your GR.
What's a GR?
I don't know about you, but
explain to the folks out there that what GR is.
It's general relief. Mm-hmm. So like, I witnessed like a lot of men going to like the DPSS and like getting their money right then and there. Versus like for me, like, she's like, oh, well, you need to send me this. And you have a bank account that was like from 20 years ago that's still on there. And we need proof. Like, until finally one day I was like, hey, check this out. Like, I need my money.
Yeah.
Like, anybody else asking for their money, like, I've seen it. Like, you guys give it to them right away. Like, and she was like, okay, you know, here you yeah. go. You know?
You know what? I've seen that too.
Yeah.
A lot of men be able to get their GR
really quick.
I never had to deal with that.
Yeah.
But I do hear that story from other women that they gave them a harder time, which even like reinforces the fact that women have a harder time in reentry than men.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about reentry, it's all about men. It's all about men. And this is why exposing these issues around women is so important. That's a very important story for people to know, is that women have a harder time with reentry because of things like that. You should be given that stuff right away.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's only right.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely just support, you know, it's needed in every aspect.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say it any better than that. So, you know, it's just been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today and to be able to really just listen, you know, and hear from your heart. You know, it's very empowering to be able to identify, you know, the challenges, you know, from an upfront and personal perspective. But not only that, to rise above all that stigma, you know, and work towards the view of dismantling, you know, those views that are held by others about the perceptions of somebody that's formerly incarcerated, you know, and I know, you know, my heart's with you.
Thank you.
You know, and Martin?
No, oh, of course. I just thank you for sharing your story here today. Any last things you'd like to tell our listeners?
You know, I know it sounds like cliche, but just like, you know, stay strong and, you know, keep moving forward. Like, don't let nothing stop you.
We're good at that.
Yeah.
So perfectly said.
Well said.
Yeah,
well said. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Our Stories Matter is brought to you by Trauma Informed Los Angeles. We want to thank Homeboy Industries and the Forestry and Fire Recruitment Program for sharing their experiences and opening their doors and hearts to us. Thank you also to Fabian Deborah for allowing us to record at Homeboy's Art Academy. Thank you also to the University of Southern California Good Neighbors. And thank you to Yehuda Price for composing our original music while incarcerated. Thank you, Ivan Reyes, our amazing editor. Please consider giving us a review with a 5-star shout out. Subscribe to Our Stories Matter wherever you get your podcasts. Join our trauma-informed Los Angeles community at traumainformedla.org. Please go to our website to read the full bios and credits. Join us next week and stay tuned for more Our Stories Matter.
We would like to take a moment to acknowledge the original stewards of the land where our event takes place today. Trauma Informed Los Angeles acknowledges the Gabrielino Tongva people as the traditional land caretakers of the Tavangar, which today is the Los Angeles Basin and Channel Islands. We are committed to uplifting the names and community members of these lands and across the nation who reside alongside us. We also want to acknowledge the suffering and forced unpaid labor of enslaved Africans and African Americans, which enabled the start of this country.